Hello, everybody. Dylan Hales back again with another Pod Blast here at the Place to Be Nation for the WrestleMania Weekend Independent Wrestling Shows. This one for the WWN Live Super Show Mercury Rising. I'm recording this, starting this recording less than a minute after the show went off the air. And I've got to say, up to this point, I would probably call this the show of the weekend from a match quality perspective. It is entirely feasible that you could pick Bloodsport as the better show from a uniqueness perspective. In fact, I might even pick it from that perspective because it did have such a unique and fresh quality to it. But in terms of a match quality perspective and in terms of delivering a true match of the year caliber match, this was the first show of the weekend that I've seen. I believe this is my fifth show now, where it absolutely grabbed me, and it felt like, you know, you were seeing tip-top guys at a tip-top level through most of the card, to one degree or another. Show seemed to be well attended at the Pontchartrain Event Center. I would venture to guess this was probably neck and neck with the aforementioned Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, which opened up the weekend on Thursday afternoon, for the most well-attended show so far in the building. The pre-sale for this was around 700, if I'm not mistaken. That figure I have is based on the number of tickets sold a couple of days before the show, so who knows if they sold more in the interim. I would guess they did roughly another 200 or maybe even 300 on walk-up. I would guess between 750 and 1,000 people were in the building. Of course, it's always hard to tell with sight lines, and you're just you know, it seemed like there were more people in the bleachers for this show than there were at Bloodsport, but fewer on the floor. What that means, who knows? People could decide to get drunk and go to Bourbon Street and not even use their tickets. That sort of thing happens. It's not that uncommon, Mania weekend. In any event, let's get into the show. Show opened with a six-man tag, AR Fox, DJZ, and Trey Miguel, up against Austin Theory, Travis Banks, and Zachary Wentz. This was an interesting matchup. The six-man tag team traditions have been a staple of Mercury Rising events going back, I believe, to 2006, the famous Dragon Gate six-man tag match, which kind of opened the eyes of many people in the United States to Dragon Gate and that style of wrestling over Mania weekend. So that's been a staple of the promotion since that point. This match did not, like, if you look at it, it doesn't seem very thematic. I think it was built as, like, the people who were going to be the stars of indie wrestling in 2018. It certainly didn't seem that thematic to me, in the sense of it wasn't clear why the teams were assembled the way they were assembled. Having said that, I thought the match was very entertaining and a very solid opener. You know, these guys are in there to do a bunch of crazy spots and get the crowd going. The crowd felt like they were ready to explode at times and never quite got to that level. You could argue that the match could have used another 2 or 3 minutes maybe, but it's a relatively minor criticism. Everybody looked good. I think Zachary Wentz was probably the standout. There was one sort of awkward spot with Trey Miguel and Austin Theory where Theory didn't quite get over on Arana, but the visual was impressive enough where it didn't feel like a total disaster. Just an entertaining match. A lot of guys, you know, six talented guys going out and doing their spots to get the crowd going. Didn't quite get the crowd to the level you'd want. If I had one sort of overall criticism of the show, it was that by and large, the crowd just was very lukewarm. I had someone in the building who texted me at one point and said that it kind of felt like a show you would watch, like, you know, you like, if for people in the bleachers, it felt like you were watching a show on TV in the background while chatting with friends, and that a lot of people seem to be treating it as, in his exact words, the pre-show for Janela Spring Break, which, you know, I think a lot of people probably were treating it that way, to be frank. That show, of course, will be starting about 30 minutes from now as I record this. So anyway, good opener. After that, they did a segment where Jason Kincaid came out to the ring for a match. We don't know against who, I don't believe. Jarek, who'd been doing a thing where he's been running around and attacking people and interjecting himself all weekend, showed up, beat down Kincaid, tied him up to the guardrail and, you know, with handcuffs and beat him some more. relatively decent segment in terms of advancing a storyline. I'm not sure that I would do it on a big Mania weekend show where a lot of the crowd maybe not that familiar with your product or your characters. There were people tweeting at me saying they didn't even know who Jarek was, which is not a good sign. Having said that, you've got to advance some stories, and I thought as a segment, it was not bad. It was decent, pretty well executed. I'm just not sure this was the show to do it on. After that, we had Minoru Sawa versus Zack Sabre Jr. This was a really good match. For a lot of people, I could see it, at least up into the main event of the show, being one of the top two or three matches of the entire weekend so far, particularly at the WWE Live building. Very hard-hitting. They did the spot that Sawa had did with Jaka earlier at Evolve 103, where they went to the floor and traded open hand slaps and things on the ground. Lots of good grappling, good back and forth, some nice escapes. Sabre ends up winning with a nasty submission. One of those typical Sabre things where you think you're going to get one submission, then you think you're going to get another, and then you just get completely stretched in ways that seem humanly impossible. Sawa got a nice reaction from the crowd afterward. Really good match. You know, maybe not match of the year level, but certainly one of the stronger matches from this weekend. Shortly after this, from the Evolve count, there was a video tweeted of Zack Sabre Jr. talking about how he lost the title and saying that he's through with Evolve, at least for the time being. This was him finishing up. I think there's been a lot of speculation about Keith Lee. There's been some speculation about Austin Theory. There's even been some speculation about Walter this week, and really for a few weeks finishing up. It certainly seems like it's possible, I'd say likely, that Keith Lee's finishing up. I think he's Austin Theory, even though he won the WWN title, is probably not long for the promotion at this point, unless something changes. Sabre, though, is more interesting. There's not been a lot of talk about him going to the WWE. Obviously, he's been with New Japan. He just came off a pretty big push and a major title match against Okada there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Sabre going forward. You know, is this a situation where he wants to focus more on New Japan? Is this a situation where maybe the ties between WWE and Evolve are about to get even stronger with Gabe Sapolsky obviously working for WWE and running Evolve? Are we at a point where maybe the ties are getting even stronger and a guy who's a New Japan upper mid-carder can't really be there? I mean, I don't know. That's just pure speculation on my part, but it'll be interesting to see what follows from that. Next up, we had a New Orleans street fight. The End versus Dominic Greene and Tracy Williams versus the Workhorsemen. The End, of course, is Perreault and Odinson. The Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and James Drake. For a Southern indie guy like me, this warmed my heart. He had Anthony Henry, James Drake, Odinson, all Southern indie reps in there. Wild brawl here. This was a train wreck, but in the good sense of the term. Just a lot of chaotic spots, things that didn't maybe come off quite how they wanted, but in a way almost added to the realism and made things look more brutal. Dominic Greene was out there taking pounces and doing flip planches. There was a great spot with Greene's toes trapped in a ladder and Drake and Henry just bashing it with the chair over and over and over again. More of a visual spot than an actually dangerous one, but visually it did look really, really good. Got one of the bigger reactions of anything on the entire card, on the undercard, actually, that spot. They did a deal where James Drake hit the big moonsault and went for the pin. Anthony Henry stopped the pin. For a second, you thought, is there going to be a turn? And there wasn't. They decided they wanted to totally finish off the End, and they did this crazy sequence where Perreault was buried underneath the table, Odinson was on top of the table, and Anthony Henry came off the top with a double stomp. The table presumably was supposed to break. It just sort of fell on Perreault's face. It looked brutal, honestly. Like, some people might look at it and go, oh, it happened slow, it wasn't that bad. I mean, that much weight falling on your face can't feel good. That was the finish. I thought it was a perfect finish for this match with all the wild stuff that happened in it. Dominic Greene out there swinging ladders like baseball bats. James Drake throwing chairs at people's heads. I mean, it was definitely... The type of match, it was advertised as a street fight, and it was exactly what you want from that. I thought it probably exceeded expectations more than anything on the show. It was quite good. On a lot of independent wrestling shows, this would be the show of the night. On this show, it was not, just because there was so much other good stuff. Next up, Lufisto versus Holodead. This was the Shine title match. Unfortunately, I saw almost none of this. Fight TV crashed out maybe a minute into the match, and then by the time it came back, Lufisto hit a burning hammer, and that was it. There was a challenge with Kimberly coming out afterward, which was really well done to set up for the Shine 50 show, which I believe is coming up pretty soon. So presumably, it's going to be Lufisto versus Kimberly for the Shine Championship at that point. That's a match probably a lot of people will want to see. Pretty smart to set it up here. I will say, I thought generally speaking, that Evolve did a really good job on this show, sort of setting up things both for this weekend and kind of opening questions for things going forward. And that's even with Darby Allin out injured, who has been really kind of a major player in Evolve to one degree or another over the last year. Next up, we had Keith Lee versus Sakamoto. That's who he wrestled. This was really good. At times, I think it bordered on being great. It was the Hoss fight people wanted. There were some hiccups with the fight stream at times during this, which kind of sucked, but it didn't really take my enjoyment away from the match too much. You had your big moments here were the power spots, particularly the ones that Sakamoto was able to do, including a big delayed vertical on Keith Lee that got a huge reaction out of the crowd. The crowd really got behind Keith Lee in this, but Sakamoto had his fans too, notably Alan Forel, always the loudest cheer for everything at WWN live events during WrestleMania weekend, is Alan Forel. Lots of good back and forth. You thought Keith Lee was gonna get the win. Sakamoto kicked out of the spirit bomb. Keith went up for the moonsault, missed it. Sakamoto, in pretty short order after that, pins him with the German suplex. At that moment, it kind of feels like a write-off, and obviously there's a lot of other reasons to think that this might have been a write-off for Keith Lee, with him losing the WWN title, him wrestling at Access against Cassius Ohno just the other day. And then just when you're thinking, oh, this is going to be the write-off and that's it, Nick Cage, of all people, hits the ring, beats down the already injured Keith Lee. A whole cast of characters come out from the back. He lays everybody out, throws people into the timekeeper's cable, hits a crazy-looking choke breaker on Wheeler Yuta without even leaning over, which I don't know how that's even biologically possible, but he did it. Just a wild sort of scene. Grabs a live mic, curses out the crowd who are booing him. It was interesting, actually, the reaction, because it did get a big reaction, and there was a segment of the crowd that was absolutely behind Nick and started the Nick fucking Gage chant and all those sort of things. And then there were people that were like, but we like Keith Lee. And it was almost like there was a moment where they switched and thought, we're supposed to be treating him as a bad guy, so we're going to treat him as a bad guy. And then everybody as the collective started booing. So it was interesting to see how that happened. When that happened, Gage immediately, called people out, said, hop the rail if you want to fight him. I'll meet you in the parking lot. All the sort of staples of the Nick Gage gang-affiliated act. From there, he left the ring, and we got a little bit of a speech afterward by Keith Lee, and it was, at this point, it's reminded to us that those two have a match at Style Battle, which happens tomorrow night. Now, that's a show that's probably not going to do very well. It's up against Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, and NXT TakeOver, but very cool for them to shoot an angle for it. They did shoot an angle for it all the way back at the last Style Battle events in New York, where Keith Lee had come out and sort of broken up a melee after Gage's match versus Walter there. So it was cool that they followed up with it. I like that they did a story. If you're somebody who bought the Evolve pack from Fight, as I did, it gives you an incentive to watch that show, even if you don't watch it live against one of those two other cards. You now have an incentive to watch it beyond just who's going to win the Style Battle tournament. It's now, okay, cool, here's a money match I want to see with Keith Lee and Nick Gage, and there's a personal issue, and it reminds you of the personal issue. And I really liked it a lot. I actually thought it was one of the best segments WWE did all weekend. Maybe the best in some ways. Next up was Ring Comp versus Catchpoint, the team of Jaka and Chris Dickinson, otherwise known as Doom Patrol, for the Evolve Tag Team titles. I liked this match. I thought it was good. I took a little bit of heat on Twitter because I merely thought it was good and didn't think it was great. Definitely a solid match. I think this match, probably more than any other match on the show, was hurt a little bit by both card placement and crowd reaction. You know, you'd had this, the crowd did come alive a good bit toward the stretch of Keith Lee versus Sekimoto, and then the angle with Nick Gage, and then this match had to follow that, and it wasn't like the crowd was dead for it, but it was by far, I felt, the least reaction a Walter match got all weekend. I don't know if it was a situation where people just didn't think Ring Comp had a chance to win the tag titles, which is kind of funny because I didn't think they had no chance, but that could be it. Whatever the case may be, it was a good match, certainly a good match. They did a nice tease down the stretch where it looked like there might be a second where Ring Comp were going to be able to grab the titles. Walter had one of Catchpoint trapped in a sleeper, face down on the mat, and then it just didn't happen. They were able to get the big win. I thought this was an important win for Jaka and Dickinson. It kind of establishes them as, not that they are seen as fluke champions at all, because that's not true, but Ring Comp has such a reputation and they're such a visually impressive team that I think getting a win over them in clean and convincing fashion on one of the biggest Evolve events of the year does help a lot. So this is a case where I think the result to me and the way it was done, I liked almost as much as the match itself. But it was a good match, certainly a good tag team match. The main event, after that, before I get to the main event, there was a segment after this match. Tracy Williams comes out, they confront Stokely Hathaway, and Tracy says he's booting Stokely out of Catchpoint, to which Stokely says, "I own Catchpoint. You can't boot me out, you're fired." Dominic Guarini comes out, he low blows Tracy Williams, and you get a beat down to Tracy Williams, and Tracy has been expelled from Catchpoint. So that's going to be interesting to see going forward. Tracy Williams, to a large degree, his entire Evolve identity, for as long as I can remember, has been wedded to that Catchpoint brand. And while that Catchpoint brand has certainly changed a lot from the days of Drew Gulak being the guy in charge of it, it's still like Williams felt like the person who was holding it to his roots, to one degree or another, keeping it wedded to that original concept. And with him out of it, it's going to be interesting to see the direction that takes. It's obviously taken a pretty big deviation and turn from what it was under Drew Gulak to begin with, but it's definitely, it feels like that's only going to accelerate at this point. It's also just going to be interesting to see what Tracy Williams does. He's a very good wrestler who has shown flashes of being really naturally charismatic in the ring and flashes of being really dry. And that's not a knock on him. I'm actually a pretty big fan of his. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if we see a personality overhaul for him, or we see some other change the way he wrestles or approaches things, or if it's basically business as usual for him, going forward. We'll see. Finally, the main event, Matt Riddle versus Will Ospreay, another one of the more anticipated matches to take place under the WWN Live banner this WrestleMania weekend, maybe the most anticipated. Their original match in progress some time ago, I guess it was a couple years ago now, or close to it, probably a year and a half ago. I think it may have even been Riddle's first trip or first match in the UK, I can't remember, is a match that a lot of people thought was like blow away great, people rating it 5 stars, one of the better matches of that year. So there's a lot of hype coming into this, and I have to say, one of my criticisms of this, on the one hand, I love the fact that they have Riddle going up against two international stars in Sekimoto and Ospreay in his first two title defenses after beating Zack Sabre Jr., who is in his own right an international star, for the belt. That does do a lot of, for the credibility of the title and the credibility of his reign. On the other hand, it kind of stinks because you know Ospreay's not an Evolve regular, so you know the odds of him winning the title are slim to none, so there's not a lot of drama invested in him winning, in theory. And then they actually have the match, and it's, I would say, hands down, the most dramatic match that's taken place in that building so far. Just, you know, very, very early on, Ospreay comes out hot with the dives and the flips and everything, puts Riddle basically in a defensive position, and Riddle, he brings him up to the rope, teases that he's going to do the Spanish fly like he did against Marty Scurll from the apron to the floor, which is how he got hurt in the first place, how his neck got banged up. He doesn't do it. He delays. Riddle makes him pay with a German suplex, and then the match just turns into Riddle torturing Sabre, Riddle torturing Ospreay in a almost Sabre-like fashion. It actually was sort of reminded me of Zack Sabre Jr.'s match versus Darby Allin from La Boom earlier in the years. Worked in some ways similar to that. The rope break phenomenon, the no rope break phenomenon that is now going to be a staple of Evolve matches, and has really, in many ways, been the theme of all Matt Riddle's stuff this weekend with Bloodsport, and now his Evolve title defenses, came into huge play here as they did a spot where Riddle had Ospreay trapped in a sleeper variation. Ospreay climbed all the way to the top rope and just lunged backwards wildly, landed right on his head. I don't even know what to describe it. It wasn't a move. It came off as totally desperate, which I think was the intent. All the referees came out. They check on Ospreay. You know, the way it was sold is great. Ospreay says he's ready to go. Riddle just creams him with a knee strike to the back of the head, and you get a kick out. And then you get the kick outs from there, and just perfectly done near fall stuff. If you're gonna do near falls like that, I mean, you really couldn't do better near falls than that. Ospreay ends up making a comeback at one point with a triangle choke of all things against Riddle, which you could argue is pushing the bounds of credibility, but it worked in this match. Ends up hitting a nasty sit-out powerbomb. Riddle takes a brutal bump right on his neck, kicks out. There's a great moments in this where Ospreay kicked out of the Riddle version of the Tombstone, which of course is just enough away from being a head drop that you can get away with it in the state of Louisiana, I'm guessing. Although I personally noticed that Riddle definitely hung there in a position where it looked like he was going to drop him right on his skull a little bit longer than he normally does, and I don't think that was a coincidence. Later, he teased like he was going to go for the Gotch pile driver. The whole crowd went absolutely insane at that point, both because they know it's banned in Louisiana and because that was the kill shot finish that Chris Hero had used in Evolve for so long. Ospreay was able to escape. Ospreay went for the Oz cutter off the ropes. Riddle caught him midair in the Bro Mission for the tap out victory. Tremendous match. One of the best matches of 2018. The first match of this weekend that I think can safely be called a match of the year contender with no qualification whatsoever. Matt Riddle now, I guess, boy, is this his fifth match this weekend that I've reviewed? He's been on every show I've seen, you know, and he's 5 for 5. I think at this point, having not seen the WrestleCon Super Show or Rev Pro or the things that have happened in that venue, I think Matt Riddle is at this point the wrestler of the weekend. You know, if somebody were to say Walter, I wouldn't argue too strenuously with that, but I don't think Walter has a match anywhere near the level of what we just saw. Ospreay has done very good in the two matches I've seen. I've just not seen the stuff from the Sugar Hill venue yet to really factor in where he would be there, but really a great performance from Riddle. Totally nuanced. He basically had to flip into a heel killer mode at points in this. He made Ospreay a sympathetic figure. Not that Will didn't do great with his selling too. Really, they made Ospreay a sympathetic figure, but that's not easy given how beloved Riddle is to those of all fans. And how much of a rock he's been, especially now with all these people seemingly in departure mode from the promotion. Wow. Was really a great match. I would say the absolute top must-see match so far coming out of this weekend. Just a great performance from both guys, and a match that took a crowd that never really got...
they were not dead, but they never really got to that next level at any point for more than maybe 20 seconds up to this match. And the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes of this, the crowd was just going insane. It played off of Ospreay's neck injury. It played off of the spot that got him injured. It played off the rope break thing that Riddle's now doing with no rope breaks in his Evolve matches. It played off the fatigue of both men from their schedules. It played off of, you know, the flyer versus the MMA guy. It played off of the Louisiana State Athletic Commission's ban on certain moves. I mean, in terms of having a deep psychological approach to a pro wrestling match, there has been nothing this weekend that has even come close to this. So this was not just a guys do a bunch of cool stuff match. This was very much a story match, and this is the second straight year that a Mercury Rising main event has been main evented by Matt Riddle with a match that was really based primarily around storytelling. The difference being this was in front of a much bigger crowd than last year's, just a higher level of like raw athleticism. But really good show. Like I said, it really depends on how you look at it. From a crowd reaction perspective and from a uniqueness perspective and a freshness perspective and a raw aesthetic perspective, Bloodsport would probably still be my show of the weekend at this point, 5 shows in. From a top of the card, down the card, match quality perspective, I would probably go with this card here, the Mercury Rising Super Show, mainly because of how good that main event was. I would strongly suggest people check this out. Got Joey Janela's Spring Break starting any minute now. I'm going to sign off, turn on Fight TV, check that out. Hopefully we have no more problems with Fight streaming tonight, because there have been some over the last day or two. And I hopefully we'll be back with a report for that very late tonight. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we will be back soon.